I want to start my message tonight, and I'm going to preach from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, just by telling you a little bit about what our theme is going to be in the year 2011. We're going to call it More About Jesus. And our verse for this year is going to be that first part of Ephesians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. And here's our goal. We've got some goals. We got three goals that we're going to talk about. But here's the main goal. Here's the main reason that we're going to, the thing that we're going to emphasize all year. I want you to learn more about Jesus, and I want you to end the year 2011 more like him than you are right now. Okay, more like him than you are right now. I put a little piece in the bulletin about, you know, the tradition that some families have of having a door frame somewhere in the house where they keep track of a child's growth by putting a little mark on the door frame to indicate their height on their birthday. And I know many families do that. Again, they pick out a door somewhere, and every year they'll put a mark on how tall a son or a daughter is. Geez, Tom, you guys probably filled up the whole door with 10. But I saw you laughing over there. But put a little line for how tall they are and the date and name to keep track and measure growth that way. And the little piece in the bulletin says, you know, we need to do that for our spiritual growth. We need to take account. We need to measure how much more we're becoming like Christ. Now, we're going to have some other goals that deal with, the fact that it's 2011. For example, we're going to try to make 11,000 contacts this year. Contact is passing out a tract, inviting somebody to church, or telling them about Jesus. And we'll come up with a form to record all those so you can turn them in and track them. We're going to try to set 11 new attendance records, not 11 months like we did this past year, but 11 new attendance records, either a record service, for example. Last Sunday night, we had 134 in the evening service. Had a lot of guests because we, you know, dedicated our deacons. But that was the most we've ever had on Sunday night. So there's one. But if we set a new monthly average or have a big crowd in Sunday school, I think our record for Sunday school is 140. If we have more than that, that'll be another. But have 11 different attendance records. And then the third one, I'm putting 11 times 11 through the Bible. 121 times through the Bible, collectively, all of us together. And so again, I want to encourage you, and I will in my message as well, to have a plan to get through the Bible this year. I know some of you have read it more than one time last year, and if you can repeat that performance, that's good. But as a church family, those that choose to participate, when you add them all up, I'd like to get to the end of the year and say, hey, as a church family, we've read the Bible through 121 times, 11 times 11. But again, our main goal, the main purpose, is so that at the end of the year, we are more like our Savior than we are right now. That's what Paul was saying there in verse 10, that I may know him. You see, Paul already knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. He'd already been on the Damascus Road. You remember the story of his conversion in Acts chapter 9. He was on the Damascus Road. He had letters in his pocket to arrest the Christians, take them back to Jerusalem and persecute them. He saw that bright light from heaven, fell down to his knees and heard a voice from heaven. He asked the question, "Who art thou?" And the voice came back from heaven, "I am Jesus who thou persecutest." And Saul, as he was known then, asked the question, "What do you want me to do?" And so he was already saved when he penned this verse, "that I may know him." So he wasn't asking, he wasn't saying in that verse, "I want to get acquainted with Jesus. I want to meet him as my Savior." He already knew him as his Savior. He'd already surrendered his will to the will that Jesus Christ had for his life. That's what he was saying in verses 7, 8, and 9. He said, "Everything that was important to me in the past is no longer important. Everything that I held dear in the past is no longer dear. It's all just like garbage to me, so that I can that I can get to know my Savior. And again, it wasn't to get acquainted with him, it was to get to know him so that he could be more like him. That's what Paul was saying. I want to be more like you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. I want to be made conformable unto your death. Jeff and I were talking today about, how he got in the car as I was taking him home from church this morning, and he was talking about how the world tries to conform us. And I quoted that verse from Romans to him, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, I think, from Philippians chapter 2. Was it Brother Leonard? Okay, I get confused sometimes. Thank you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so Paul was saying, I want to get to know him. Again, not from an acquaintance standpoint, not from getting a saved standpoint, but get to know him. And because the more that you know him, the more you'll be like him. Now, I want to just make a couple points about that tonight. First of all, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to get to know his son more. He wants us to be more like Jesus. You remember the first time, at least it's, I think it's the first time recorded in the Bible, that Jesus went to the city of Bethany and visited with those that pair of sisters and their brother, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Remember the story? Martha was busy preparing and getting everything ready for lunch or dinner, whatever it was, just making sure the table was set properly and, the food was cooking and everything was. And she started looking around for her sister. Where's Mary? She should be doing some of this. And she looked around for Mary, and Mary was nowhere to be found among the tasks that needed to be done. And she walked into the room where Jesus was sitting, and there was her sister, not helping with the chores, but sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus talk. And Martha went into the room and said, Jesus, and I'll put it in my own words, tell my sister to get up and help me. I mean, tell her not to just sit there and do nothing. You know, there's lunch to prepare. There's a table to set. There's things that need to be done. Tell her to get up and help me. And you remember what Jesus told her? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. What Jesus was saying to Martha was, the one thing that's needful. And what he was saying is, more important than having a good lunch, more important than taking care of all the details. And I know, Martha, you're just trying to express your love toward me as you do those things. But more important than doing all that is sitting at my feet and getting to know me. Getting to know me. And that's what God wants for us. The same thing he wanted for Martha is the thing that he wants for us. You see, we were created to fellowship with God. We were created to sit at his feet, so to speak, and to get to know him. I'm going to tell you a little bit how to do that in a second. But there's a lot of people who get out serving the Lord, and serving the Lord is good, and serving the Lord is a wonderful thing to do. But the thing that needs to happen before you get out there and get all busy with doing things for God and doing the things that God has called us to do is to sit at his feet and get to know him. Don't skip that part. Too many Christians skip that part, and they get out working and they get burned out. They get irritable. They get grouchy because they've skipped the most important part, and that's getting to know our Savior, getting to know our Lord. And so that's what God wants for us, to know him. Second thing I want to point out to you tonight, that's exactly what the world needs. What the world needs is not our talents. It's not our abilities. It's not the fact that we're willing to work hard. What the world needs is someone who has been with Christ and knows him and carries his likeness into a world that is hell-bent and dying without the Savior. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, here's what the Bible says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. This is a verse I claimed early on, Brother Matt, in my preaching career. Well, they were unlearned and ignorant men. I qualify by that verse. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus is more important than being learned. Being with Jesus is more important than having knowledge. And I'm not against any of those things. I think, you know, if you teach or you preach or even saying you ought to study, you ought to prepare, you ought to learn as much as you can. But the most important part, the good part that Jesus was talking about to Martha is being with him and getting to know him and going into the world with his likeness. I mean, these were men that were going to turn the world upside down. They were fishermen and tax collectors and came from other walks of life. And yet they went to a dying world and turned it upside down because they had been with Jesus and got to know him. And knowing Christ and carrying his likeness into the world is far more important than talent. It's far more important than ability. It's far more important than anything else. Is getting to know him and carrying his likeness into this world. You remember what the Shunammite woman said about Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 and 9? Here's what the Bible says. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. What a wonderful thing for somebody to say about you and to say about me. There's somebody that's been with Jesus. There's somebody that knows him. There's somebody that has his likeness. And that'll have far more impact on the world than any of our abilities, than any of our talents, than any of our hard work. Now, and again, I'm not diminishing any of those things. Please don't misunderstand me. If God's given you a talent, use it. We need to work hard for him. And the abilities that he's given us, we ought to use them in the Lord's work. But far more important than any of those is the fact that we spend time at his feet and we get to know him and we carry his likeness into the world. So how do we do that? We can't sit like Mary did at Jesus' feet. We can't sit like Martha did, I'm sure, on other occasions at Jesus' feet. How do we get to know him today? Four quick ways. Number one, we spend time in this book. This book's all about him. From the book of Genesis, first chapter in Genesis, the last chapter in the book of Revelation, and every book in between. We have a little contest in Sunday school where we ask the kids just to name the books of the Bible as fast as they can. And this morning, the times ranged from 24 seconds to 40 seconds. Some of them didn't even take a breath. They took one deep breath, and then they rattled off. And if I could do that tonight, I'd name all 66 books of the Bible. It would take me longer than 40 seconds, far longer. But every one of those books, from Genesis to Revelation tell us something that we need to know about Jesus. You want to spend time at his feet? You want to know more about him? Get into this book. Read it. Study it. Read it again. 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 I made it through the Bible, and I hesitate to say this because every time I say it, I know it sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not. 37 times through the Bible last year from cover to cover. And the last time was just as sweet as the first time. I mean, for the most part, I read the same Bible. But I'll swear to you that somebody was in their doctrine and putting verses in that I never saw before the 37th time. But it never gets old. It gets sweeter. And the more time you spend in this book, the more time you'll spend with our Savior. And the more you'll get to know him. And the more of your likeness, his likeness, you will have. So spend time in this book. Number two, spend time in prayer. That closet that Jesus told us to get into to pray. Where you just get by yourself. And it doesn't have to be a physical closet, but just somewhere where you can get by yourself. And just spend time with prayer. In prayer. Talking to God. Tell him what's on your heart. You know, there's nothing too small or too big to talk to God about. We have a lot of testimonies about how God has answered the big prayers and saved people that we've been praying for and healed people that have been sick. But you know, it's just as amazing that God hears prayers for the little things and is concerned about those little things and will answer our prayers about the little things in our life that maybe some people would think are insignificant, but they're not insignificant to us and they're not insignificant to God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. In all things, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the more time you spend in prayer, the more you'll get to know our Savior. Number three, watch out for sin. And keep sin out of your life as much as possible. We talked about Wednesday night. The devil is not the guy in the red costume with the horns and the tail and the pitchfork smelling of fire and brimstone. He's dressed up. He looks nice. He looks attractive. And what he tempts us to do sometimes makes a lot of sense. He's sneaky. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. But he's also a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you as a Christian. Part of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you've heard me say before, if we sin as Christians, we do it by choice. We can never say, well, the devil made me do that, because the devil can't make you do that. You have to decide. I have to decide. If we're going to turn away from God, if we're going to let sin come into our life, it's because we've allowed it to happen. If sin comes in, it still steals our joy. David, when he sinned, had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If sin creeps in, it steals our power. Sin got into Samson's life, and he lost his power for a while. It steals our blessing. It steals the sweetness. It deafens our hearing and blurs our vision. And it sets up a veil that makes it hard for us to see our Savior. And how much better it is to have nothing between us and Jesus. No sin. Nothing that we would be ashamed if he was sitting right there personally in front of us and could watch what was going on in our life with his two physical eyes. And I've often thought, how much different life would be if we realized that every moment of every day, God is with us. Huh? I mean, just think, How would your life be different if your preacher came and hung around you all day? Al, never mind. I was going to ask if you'd do anything different. Well, if I just said, hey, Al, I'm just going to come spend the whole week with you. Would next week be any different than last week? Probably. I mean, if the chairman of our deacons, Brother Larry, said, hey, preacher, I'm going to come spend the week with you, there'd probably be things I'd do different because he was with me than if I do by myself. You know, I'd get up probably a little bit earlier because I wouldn't know how long he'd want me to be sleeping in. But can you imagine? What would we do different in our life if Jesus said, hey, I'm going to come, I'm going to spend the week with you. I'm going to be beside you every moment. I'm going to hear every word. I'm going to know every thought. I'm going to witness every interaction that you have with others. I'm going to see how you spend your time. I'm going to see the books you read. I'm going to see the TV programs you watch. We probably wouldn't turn it on if he was there. But he says, I'm just going to spend the whole week with you. And yet, he is with us every moment. The Holy Spirit is. So, let's keep sin out, because it puts something between us and our Savior. And then number four, real quickly, watch who you hang around with. Watch who you spend your time with. Find somebody that's more like Jesus than you are and spend your time with them. Spend your time with them. Let them rub off on you. Let them influence you. Don't say, and there'll be people that might want to hang around with you because you're more like Jesus than they are. But when you pick somebody that's more like Christ than you are. That's how we get to know them. That's how we get to know them. And again, here's my desire. From Laura up here in the front to Kevin back there in the back. My desire for every single person here. And I know some of you are visiting with us tonight. Doesn't matter. Here's my desire for you. When you get to the end of 2011 and you look at your life for the year, I want you to be able to say, with the Holy Spirit as your witness, I'm more like Jesus now than I was a year ago. I know him more. I know him better. Paul said that I may know him. And I hope that's what your desire is. Now, if you're here tonight, maybe you're not acquainted with him at all. You're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And like I was telling little Jenna this morning, I put up my hands. I said, Jenna, this is you and this is God. And he made us to be like this with him. He made us with a relationship. I said, something gets in there and messes it up. Hold your hand up, Nick. And I had her put her hand up and just one. And I said, that thing that gets in between God. And I pressed her hand like this, tried to intertwine my fingers. I said, I can't do it. And that thing that gets in and messes up our relationship with God is sin. It's sin. And I said, you know, sin is just... And I tried, you know, when I talk to children, I try to use examples. And I asked her, I said, did you ever get mad at your brother? And she said, yes, sometimes he gets me so mad I just have to leave and be in a separate place from him. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. But I said, you know, that's sin. That's sin. And again, like I said this morning, a lot of people try to complicate what sin is. Sin's just not doing what God tells us to do. Or it's not doing what he tells us to do. It's that simple. And so we're all sinners. The penalty for that sin is separation from God. We were made to be like that, but sin gets in, and we can't. And there's nothing we can do to get back together to where he wants us to be. But praise God, he didn't leave it up to us. He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for our sins and pay for the price. And if we ask him, he'll save us and he'll restore the relationship that he wants to have with each one of us. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross to pay for your sins. And if you'll ask Him tonight, He'll save you. He'll save you. Get to know Him. Know Him as Savior, and if you're saved tonight, like most of us are, get to know Him. Say like Paul, that I may know Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. And I pray, Father, for that one that might be here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Help them to see the great love that sent Jesus to a cross. The great love that caused Him to take on Himself all of our sins. The great love that died there to pay for Him. And I pray, Father, if there's just one, that tonight they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Give us a desire to sit at Jesus' feet. Give us a desire to know Him better. And I pray, Father, that we would choose, like Mary, the good thing, the best thing. Speak to our hearts. Do in our lives tonight what only You can do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.